Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, we studied the book of Daniel. This is the last class in this NYTS. Please go to slide number 133. Please turn to chapter 6, verse 2. Chapter 6, verse 2. Okay. Chapter 6, verse 2. Brother Jackie Ye. Where is Jackie? Okay, so over these 120 satraps, the king appointed three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satrap might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. And then in verse three. Rebecca Lin. Verse three. Okay, so actually the king is going to put Daniel as a, like a so-called prime minister, as the overseer of everything. So what is the most likely reason that Darius reorganized his officers? In verse 2, what could be? Because the king, obviously, he suffered a lot of loss, right? So in verse 2, there may be corruption within his own government. So in the earthly kingdom, we see where is the power or authority, and there is corruption. No exception. Every place. As long as someone hold on the authority, then they just want to get advantage. They want to do something. They abuse their power. So that's why corruption come. Okay? So at this time, next please. In verse 4. Now the king wanted to put Daniel on the top because Daniel, he has an excellent spirit in him. Okay. Now the verse 4 starts this, his colleague, the other officer, they wanted to do something. So what is their problem with Daniel? What is their problem? Most likely, we will consider, okay, this jealousy, right? Jealousy, okay? Yes, part of the problem could be jealousy over Daniel, because how come all the three governments, governors, but the king wanted to just put the Daniel on the top? Yes, what is equal? What is next? Besides jealousy, actually, Daniel, we believe he is doing the best job, actually. He is so faithful. Because from his early days, he showed this good character already. He is not associate with others doing corruption. So he is righteous. So that's why if we are righteous, we are so faithful to God, to our faith, we will also be very faithful to our job in the society. Right? So if Daniel, he is the prime minister, he's the top one, then all the officers, they probably do not have chance to gain what they want. Daniel definitely will stop it because his righteousness. We believe he is so upright. And once he got authority, then these people have no chance at all. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus mentioned to us, actually chapter 5, we are the light and the salt, right, of the world. So we're supposed to, just like a salt, to prevent all the spoil or corruption. So if the organization could become better, that must become because of you. You are there because you are not going to do the same thing with others. Okay, so this is called we are the light, we are the salt. Next, please. What is especially evil about their approach to against Daniel? If we look at verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5. Daniel, he's so faithful, so his party find no any wrong against him. So in verse five, Samuel, please read. Okay, concerning the law of his God. They knew it must be something with regard to the law of his God. So they know this is the only way they can accuse Daniel. You know, compared to us, it's so easy to find everyone's fault, right? We are not perfect. Not. Cannot just compare with Daniel. So to Daniel, it is not just a test of faith, actually. It is a faithfulness. He is faithful in everything. Now, people want to accuse his faith. He keep God's commandment. He is so serious about live out the life of so godliness. Next, please. In verse 9 and 10, please read verse 9 and 10. 9 and 10. Sister Wen Ting. Okay. Now, the decree, they wanted to make a decree. Actually, in verse 7, these officers, they say a lie, right? Because they say in verse 7, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors, advisors have council together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any gods or men for the 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. You can see they make up the story for the king. They are liars, right? But now Daniel, he knew it. He knew this decree. So in verse 10, to him, he made the conscious decision to continue as always, even with the knowledge of what was going on. So this is what in verse 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and did the same thing. It is not matter to him at all. This is called faith. And this is called faithfulness. Next, please. We know it very well. How is Daniel's prayer life described in the New Testament? According to what he is doing for his whole life. In the New Testament, there's a good description about what Daniel is living in his daily life. What is that? Can we find verses to support? Huh? Anyone? Okay. First. One verse say, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Which verse? Huh? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Okay. Yes. Okay, next, please. This is a prayer, life of prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything be prayer by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Which verse? Sister? Okay, if it Philippians 4, 6 to 8, you know it. This is how Daniel actually he lived up a life of prayer. Even though he knew the decree, what's going on there? Let's continue. Be anxious for nothing. You can see. It's called faith, right? Within 30 days, if anyone make petition to God besides the king, then will be put into the eternal lands. As an officer, he know what that means, right? But continue. Okay, next, please. What is notable about the way Daniel went about his prayer routine in the shadow of the new law? The way how Daniel he deal with this law, right? The way Daniel continued, went up in the exactly same way, at the exactly same time, in the exactly same place. He does everything as was his custom. So he opened the window toward Jerusalem. In this case, we can come up with a lot of the idea for him. He can just close the window, right? Don't let others have chance to accuse him. He can just simply close it or went to a different place. But how come he insists he wanted to go to the same place at the same time, in the same way for his prayer? Do you get the point? Yes? Why? What is the reason behind he wanted to open the window toward Jerusalem? Why he has to do so? Can he just close the window and pray? Yes or no? Yes? Let's turn to the verse. 1 Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8, verse 46. First Kings 8:46 46 to 50. Well, let's read verse 48 only. 48 and the 40 to 50. 48 to 50. Brother Joe. Okay, this is a prayer of Solomon when he dedicated the temple to the Lord, and he specially mentioned, if the captives, your chosen people, in the foreign land, they pray to you toward the land, toward the temple, you will listen to their prayer. So what Daniel did actually to show him, he really believed what the Lord promised to them. So in the city of Babylon, he always opened the window toward to Jerusalem, because his prayer is not just, oh Lord, please give me a smooth way to deal every day the administration work. He is not just praying for the petition for his own life, but every day, pray for, just like this verse say, ask for God's forgiveness, because they sin, their fathers sin. So this is the end result. So every day they do need God's forgiveness. He wants to ask God to remember his promise. One day they will return. So that's why in chapter 9, when Daniel, he learned from the book of Jeremiah, his prophecy about 70 years, almost up. That's how he wanted to fast and pray to make sure God really fulfilled what he promised. So when the time's up, then they can return. This is in his prayer. Every day, the same way. It's called consistency. So let's come up with this same way in prayer. After NYTS, go home, you pray. Really make it become your custom, your part of life. Okay? So you go to the same place with the same heart. You intercede for so many things. Consider, you know, about God's mercy. Okay? So this is in verse 10. Let's go to verse 16. Verse 16. Now, Daniel, he was put into the den of lions, right? Verse 16, Sister Jessica Tsai, Jessica Tsai from Phoenix. Okay, so Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. And the king said, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. He will deliver you. Now the king, he wished really the living God can protect Daniel, because he is powerless to protect him anymore. This is very ironic. The king issued the decree, but he cannot override it. So this is a special caste practice in the ancient empire in Babylon. Okay, so if you look at the chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5, and it's a key place. Who is the lion? In the New Testament, who has been described as a lion? Satan, right? Satan. So it's a Satan who is characterized in Scripture as a roaring lion. Satan used our enemies in an attempt to devour us. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9, we know Satan just like a roaring lion, looking for those who can devour. But even at this time, God can seal it, can close the mouth of lion. So God gives us protection. Daniel, he is innocent. And this is a trial. God allowed those people, you know, to have a smooth plan. They just do it as according to what they want. And the king was deceived. Now, this is God's turn. God come in, and then Daniel is okay, right? So this is a work of Satan. Next, please. So in verse 23, let's learn, read verse 23. What is specially mentioned as heaven delivered Daniel? Verse 23. Brother Nathan. Nathan in verse 23. Okay. When Daniel was taken up out of the den, no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. So, this special mention, because he believed in his God. Okay. That's why in Hebrew chapter 11, turn to Hebrew 11 verse 33, Daniel is listed as the warrior of faith. Hebrew 11:33. Sister Felicia. Felicia. Where is Felicia? Felicia. Okay, so through faith, subdue kingdoms, work righteousness, obtain promise, stop the mouth of lions. It's talking about Daniel. Daniel. So, because he believed in his God. Today, if we believe in our God, Lord Jesus Christ, can we do something? Can we insist to say no to temptation? Can we stand firm in our faith? Always give petition. Always just pray. Not because I'm so busy, I'm too tired, right? Because my roommate, they are all non-believers. They will be scared by my prayer, so I cannot pray in my place. Can we overcome it? Yes, we can, because we learn from Daniel already. Okay? Next question. So how would you describe why God allowed Daniel to go through this experience? From 24 to 28, the last session of chapter 6, why God allowed Daniel to suffer and, you know, to sleep over with lion? A special place. He spent one night with lion. Why? What is the reason? How are you going to describe it? It's just a short phrase. According to verse 24 to 27, what is the key? Father. Joseph. Became a believer. Okay. Sister, do you agree? What is your answer? The key from verse 24 to 27. What is the key? No, I mean the key means the key word. The key word only. Yes. Any Stephanie? Glory. Yes. This entire event, glorify God actually. Through Daniel's suffering, it brought glory to God's name. Right? So that's why Darius, he now, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the law of Daniel. He is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivered and rescued. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. You compare what Darius said and King Nebuchadnezzar said. Okay? This is how Daniel, in his whole life, he glorified God so much. Almost every king, whoever encountered with Daniel, then they come to the same conclusion. The God of Daniel is the living God. He can perform signs, wonder. No other can compare. So, what Daniel suffered, actually, this is a way how God used Daniel to glorify his name, to make everybody worship this living God. Okay, so sometimes our suffering carry out meaning there, but we don't know yet, but later, after that, we will find out why. Okay, so next please. When we overcome temptation and trials, it is always something that glorifies the Lord. So if we are tempted during the moment, if we fail, then God's name just what? No glory, right? Because we, as His children people, we proclaim we have abundance of Holy Spirit. We cultivate ourselves that much. We attend all the different seminars. We're supposed to stand firm before the temptation, but if we fail, then God's name will be what? Disgrace? Think about if we want to glorify God, and then listen, we have to do something. We have to say no to the temptation. Stand firm in the trial. So, personal faithfulness is not just something undertaken for ourselves alone. But, in fact, it's a visible testimony to everyone around us. If you fail during the temptation, then what your friend will commend you? You are not different from others, right? Because if your friend will fail in the temptation, then you also fail, then what's the point? Why we say we worship God, we come to church every Sabbath, we have power to overcome sin, can control our flesh. What is the point? No. So we must continue to stand firm and say no to temptation from different ages, different challenges. Because we definitely will go through all different kinds of the trials, but we cannot fail at this moment. We have to stand firm and then face another bigger challenge until to the end. So the salvation must continue to the end. And this is called success. This is called we have been saved. Okay? Next, please. So Daniel would rather die in obedience to God's word and ways than live outside the will of God. In chapter 6, this is the, you know, how Daniel demonstrates to us. He wanted to obey God, God's word, God's way to the end. So if he died in the mouth of lion, he is okay. So he's just like his three friends. They have been thrown into the furious fire, right? Furnace. They survived. God rescued them out. So if God's will is to let us be persecuted and killed, what is the reward God promises? Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. Brother Alan. Okay. So actually this is the word of Holy Spirit to everybody. You may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. It's a short period of time. But definitely this tribulation is there. Huh? And be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So this is God's promise. Physical life, everyone live once only. We will die at this day or the other day. But always there's one day, the end of life, right? But if we have the crown of life, the eternity, then it's worthy. Let's keep this kind of the mindset to endure all the tribulation, temptation. Let's learn from Daniel. Okay? Okay, we finished chapter 6. Any question? We have about 7 minutes to go to Daniel 7. Let's go next chapter. Chapter 7, this is a visions for the future. It's a title. Visions for the future. Chapter 7 is the part 1. Chapter 8 actually is part 2. It's more details about certain period. Okay? So vision for the future. To this point in chapter 7, until chapter 6 actually, Daniel has been interpreting the dreams of others. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, right? But now God provides him with unique vision of his own. In his prayer at night, God showed him special vision. And then God sent angels to interpret it for him. So to reveal the future, which must be going according to God's will. Next. It is probably not possible to fully understand the book of Revelation without first affirming the basic framework laid down in Daniel. So, before we study Revelation, we have to first look at the book of Daniel, especially the second part from chapter 7 to chapter 12. And then we can go detail to Revelation. This is how we call the Old Testament is a shadow, but the substance actually is in the New Testament. So it's important. Okay, the outline of chapter 7. Verse 1 to 14 is the vision described. From verse 1 to verse 14, there are more than one vision, right? There are more vision. You can look at, view it as divide. Look at the key word in chapter 7. The key word is, I beheld. Just like I look at in verse 7. In verse 6. Oh. After this, I look. Verse 7. After this, I saw. Okay. And in verse 11, I watch. Oh. Or even the kind of verb related to I look at, I saw it, I watch. So actually, in verse 1 to 14, we can see four visions. Four visions. The first vision is four beasts. Then from verse 9, he saw a vision of throne, right? From verse 9 to 10, this is the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days sit on the throne. And then from verse 11 to verse 12, this is a vision how all the four beasts are judged. Huh? From verse 13 to 14, I saw in the night vision, behold, one like a son of man came with the cloud of heaven. So the son of man. Sure, this is another vision. So a terrible, very fearful vision shown first. Four beasts. Then followed by three comforting visions. This is how Daniel, he received this special revelation from God. Okay, and then from verse 15 to 27, the angel, the one served before God, came to make this interpretation for him. Okay, and then verse 28, this final word. Okay. So, next. What does the Bible describe with the symbol of the restless sea in verse 2 and 3? Let's read verse 2 and 3. This is important. Chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. We have a brother. Does anyone sit on the back? Joshua. Joshua, live, please. Be. Okay. You see, this is verse 2, huh? The four winds of the heaven struck upon the great sea, and then the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. So this sea is a symbol of enterprise, the world. This verse is, we can see in Revelation chapter 17, let's do this verse. Revelation 17. The sea waters. 17:15. Sister Yifang. Okay, peoples, multitudes, nations, tongues. This is the world. Okay, what is the purpose of mentioning the four winds of heaven? Because this is in the beginning, in the vision, something is happening, right? So it revealed there are spiritual forces which are actually behind the stirring up and agitation of the nations. You know, some spiritual beings are working there to stir up the whole nations, the entire world. It's become a chaos. So that's why the beast, one come out and then diverse, another one come, one after another. So this restless. That's this. Okay, and last one. How do we know for sure that the four great beasts each represent a different earthly kingdom? We say these four beasts, right? Represent the four different kingdoms. How do we know? If we continue to verse 17, the angel describe it. This from angel interpretation, this is the four nations. Four beasts represent four nations, four kingdoms. Okay? So then the history went on accordingly. So that's why right now we are at the end, we saw how the history is continuing to this point. And a terrible beast is still working. So we must be aware, and for sure the end is coming soon. Okay? So I conclude this class. You have, hope we have a future, another chance to, you can study the second part of the Book of Daniel. Okay? Let's pray in silence.